high drop for Jackie Elka.
Goal! Oh, what a goal! What a goal! What an unbelievable finish to the
Derby! Welcome to the Toffee Blues, your source for all things Everton, and welcome to another podcast. Loads in store tonight. We're going to be looking back on our Carabao Cup win against West Ham, and for that I'll be joined by Owen Parks and Rob Astle. And then after that, we've got the match preview for the Brighton game that's coming up on Saturday, and I'll be joined for that by Dan Hart and Teddy McAllister. And then we'll finish with a classic quiz, of course, where Teddy and Dan will go head-to-head at the end of the show. The segments will be separate on YouTube, as always, so I'll introduce them as we go along. So anyway, we'll get straight into it, starting with looking back on our win over West Ham. We are looking back on Everton's 4-1 victory in the Carabao Cup to progress to the quarter-finals. I'm joined by Owen Parks and Rob Astle. How are you doing, lads? Good win, bittersweet of sorts. But we'll start with you, Rob. How are you feeling after that one?
Yeah, it was a good performance, wasn't it? I thought we should have been 2 or 3 up at half time, to be honest with you. Bit disappointed to concede so quickly after the final whistle. But what I like about this team is they just keep going and they create chances. And an Everton side of old would have caved and probably put themselves under more pressure there. But, you know, we remained calm. You know, we got in behind again and we scored 3 more goals. So, all good. On to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point you've made there about the character of this team. I mean, how many times have we gone a goal up as a setback and then, like you say, gone on to lose the game last season, yeah, or even more so under Marco Silva?
Yeah, I just felt like West Ham, after that, they didn't really... They had that chance with Yarmolenko, where the header went. He put a header across the box, and I can't remember who it was.
Lanzini, the ball had
Lanzini scuffed it. Yeah, but otherwise, that was it, really, wasn't it? There wasn't really much to write home about from him, and it was comfortable, I thought, in the end.
I mean, they're not the greatest Premier League side, but it's still Premier League opposition, and we've beaten them 4-1, which is it's pretty comprehensive, isn't it? You can't complain.
You know, your star striker scored 3 goals again. You know, we've got 1-4-1. We're in the quarterfinals. There's nothing really to moan about. I was expecting a bit of a tough game tonight, to be honest with you. I thought their lineup seemed quite strong. I was a bit worried about Nkunku against Yarmolenko, but he seemed to do really well against them.
I was very concerned about Luka Dean up against Sebastian Haller, given the height difference, and he handled centre-back brilliantly again. I mean, it's one thing to do it against like League Two opposition, but you know, a Premier League side, and he's stepped into the centre back role pretty well, hasn't he?
It's his experience, isn't it? You know, he just seems to know what to do. But I think in terms of tonight, obviously Haller's a big lad, but I think cutting the supply off to Haller was vital, and that's what the midfield managed to do throughout the game, and I think that really helped the situation as well. But yeah, it was a comprehensive win. We'll go on to the injuries, I'm sure, but that was the only real downside of it for me.
On the note of the injuries, I think with some news is sort of filtering through now from Ancelotti, he's saying the injuries aren't too bad. So, you know, you can't, obviously that's not a barometer as such, but at least it might alleviate some of our fears.
Yeah, you'd like to think, you know, Richarlison might make the weekend, and then he's got 2 weeks off then. But Allen, groin strain, you know, you might not want to risk it, and you might want to leave until just after the break. But if it's not too bad, let's wait for a proper prognosis. But that seems quite positive for me. The fact that they both walked off the pitch as well seemed quite, like, not positive, but, like, you know, it didn't seem maybe as bad as they actually looked.
Yeah, Owen, what's your take on the injuries, you think?
Well, yeah, the first thing of all I want to say is that we've got a new player signed for us tonight, Nyonku. He was brilliant.
Nyonku, he was good.
Who's Nyonku?
That's going to have Carlo Ancelotti going. Carlo Ancelotti's like, who?
Yeah, no, it's... But yeah, the injuries I put on Twitter before I came on here, that we're going to have injuries over the course of a season. Hopefully not 3 in one game. But I feel like the way the team is at the moment, even thinking the cup games, the way the team spirit is, even with the like fringe players and the younger players, I feel like we can take the challenge on. I think it's good that we've got an international break coming, because if we can just get through Brighton with 3 points any way we can, we can hopefully have 2 weeks then to, you know, sort of see, take stock and see where we are. And then hopefully for the Liverpool game, everyone's back. Hopefully. If Carlo's saying it's not too bad. But I just think it's what is expected in the season, especially for Everton. It's been going too well, let's be honest. We'll bounce about 3 injuries in the game at some point.
That's on a whole new level. But I mean, normally it'd be 3 injuries and then getting knocked out on penalties. So it's a step forward, let's put it that way.
Yeah, improving all the time, I would say.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we'll get on to the positives then. I think there's not much more we can say about the injuries. Interestingly enough, we also, John Joe Kenny also got injured, and he has looked arguably the least serious of the three at first, but he was the one who left on crutches.
Yeah, I read that. I think the Echo posted that he left on crutches, but yeah, hopefully it's not too bad, and it's just, again, precautionary. But I think, no disrespect to John Joe Kenny, but I don't think he's the most important member of the squad, as we can afford his injury to a point. You know, it's not nice for him at all. But
carry on, man.
The John Joe Kenny injury, hopefully, again, that's not too bad. But you know, we'll get the prognosis in the next couple of days, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's at least on that note, it is relieving to hear that Carlo says he doesn't think they're as bad as first imagined. So maybe that alleviates some fans' fears out there, because that's obviously the one real downside to this game. But other than that, it was a very positive display, wasn't it? I mean, some excellent performances, and none more so, of course, than Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who's going to be in the England squad tomorrow, Annie.
If he's not in the England squad, that's an absolute travesty.
I wouldn't really put anything past Gareth Southgate, because he somehow thinks that Tyrone Mings and Eric Dier centre-back is somehow better than James Tarkowski and Michael Keane and Mason Holgate when he was fit. So I really wouldn't put anything past Gareth Southgate. He'll probably put Carlton Palmer back in the squad or something, because you don't know what these England managers do. They just make the most random selection choices I've ever seen. I don't really know where they get them from, but on Dominic, I think he's been brilliant. I think, but everyone who said he was a championship striker just makes me laugh, because even when he wasn't scoring goals and even when he wasn't playing too well, he was never a championship striker if you just look there and play. I think he's such an intelligent footballer, and the way he controls the ball, he brings so many people into play. I think at the moment, even though he's scoring the goals, I think in the last year, he's probably the most improved footballer in the country, because he's incredible.
Yes, certainly. I mean, I was laughing. Like, I think there was a point in the second half where he took the ball on his left foot and skied it over the bar from outside the area. And I thought, oh, fucking hell, Calvert-Lewin, he never scores with his left foot. And then he slots one beautifully with his left foot to seal a hat-trick. And, you know, two hat-tricks in not even 2 weeks. It's just excellent, isn't it? I mean,
against Premier League opposition as well.
Yeah, yeah. And also, it's worth noting, a little statistic came out that he's the first person to score 2 hat-tricks for Everton in the same month since Dixie Dee.
it speaks for itself, really, doesn't it? At the end of the day, you know, was that 8 goals in 5 games, is that now?
8 and 6.
So, you know, you could argue his target was 20. We're not even a third of the way into the season, and he's nearly halfway to his target. You know, he could easily surpass that this year. The lad just looks on fire, and he's improved so many aspects of his game as well. Like,
that finish was something. I don't think you'd have seen him slot a goal like that. That final goal, the finish, was absolutely excellent.
The first one, for me, I thought was the best. The first touch. Yeah. And he just seems to be going from strength to strength. And even take the goals away from his game, one thing he has improved on over the last 18 months is his contribution to the game, holding the ball up, bringing other players into it. And he did it a few times tonight as well.
yeah, it was an all-round excellent performance from Calvert-Lewin, but he wasn't the only one, was he? I thought, especially like we talk about like maybe the absence of Allen, I think Fabian Delph was very encouraging today, wasn't he? I thought his performance, and I mean, you know me, I'm usually a very big Fabian Delph basher on this show, but but I thought he was absolutely excellent today.
I'm the same too, mate. I'm normally the first one to say Delph again, but I thought he was outstanding. I thought the way there was times in the second half and the first half where, I don't know, they got a lot of possession, and I think that when we won the ball back, he just took the whole sting out of their attack, just played a nice, simple pass. I think it was really effective what he did tonight. If he can keep that up, he's certainly an option for Everton this season, because that was really impressive tonight. And it's again, if we were playing, he was good last week as well, but if we were playing, I don't know, Swindon Town, you'd say, or Swindon Town, but West Ham are a Premier League team, okay? They might not be in great shape, but they're a Premier League team, and he did not look out of place in that Everton team tonight. And I think as we go along during the season, he might become an option for us. I certainly think he's better than Tom Davis, so...
That's another debate. I mean, Tom didn't even get on today. But,
I think if anyone's going to go, it'll be Davis, not Delph.
Looks like it, doesn't it? Gylfi Sigurdsson, again, I thought he was really good today. I thought the thread for Calvert-Lewin was a brilliant little pass as well. You know, mm-hmm. Sigurdsson played some really nice passes today. Wolby come on for Richarlison, and I thought he was all right. But, you know, we've got to reserve special praise for none other than James Rodriguez. I mean, again, just watching him play is just a pleasure in itself, isn't it?
I don't know whether, like... Sorry, Owen, what?
I was just going to say, the likes of Man City and obviously Liverpool and Chelsea, I used to watching players like him all the time, because it's totally alien to me watching players like him.
I know, yeah. That's the thing with me, yeah. And it's weird, like, I don't know whether you... Like, I'm waiting for Rodriguez to turn into, like, peak Kevin Morales and just be an absolute waste of space at times. And that's just the blue of me, but he just seems to control the game, and his intelligence, his passing, his everything about him is just... He's everything this side misses, and you look at Calvert-Lewin, is absolutely... And Richarlison are thriving off playing with him. And, you know, long may it continue as well. And you know what, today... on a side note, he got stuck in defensively, I thought.
Yeah, better than before, definitely.
Yeah, I thought that was a new side to his game, what we saw today. And you know, again, long may it continue. He seems to want to protect Coleman and Kenny a little bit. But yeah, James, he's just... And the beauty about him is as well, you don't... He starts on the right-hand side, but he's on the left, he's in the centre. He's almost got like a free role, because he's just that good at distributing. But yeah, again, long may it continue.
Yeah, it's excellent to see.
You know what I've noticed with James as well. I feel like for a long time Everton have been saying we lack leaders, and while James doesn't come across as like your typical screaming, shouting leader, I think he just does things in the game that leads the team throughout situations. I was talking about Delph before and the way he took the sting out of the game in the second half. I think James does something similar, but in terms of like momentum in the game, I think he just puts us on the front foot. Whereas last season, we didn't have that player who was scared in opposition that much, except Richarlison. I just think he puts the fear of God into teams, and he leads the team up the pitch. I think he's been unbelievable since he's come in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're always fearful when you bring in a big-name sign, and are they going to flop or what? I mean, we've had our first year, but this is going very well. He's been an excellent addition to this team, and I think it reminds me a lot of, I think I've said this a few times, of when we first brought Mikel Arteta in and we just brought a player in. He was a different class to the other players we had around him.
And he makes the other players better because he's there.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, the way he can control the game and compose the other players around them.
I was surprised he started tonight, to be honest with you. I didn't expect him to start him. But I think Gordon was ill, wasn't he? I think that's why he wasn't in the team. But yeah, you know, let's get him, you know, through the Brighton game, and then I thought Bernard would start as well. Yeah, you know, but let's get Rodriguez through the Brighton game, and then there's 2 weeks off then to try and, you know, rest the legs a little bit and come fresh again for the derby.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I say, we've just got to wait and see how these injuries get on, and we've got, like, obviously the weekend against Brighton, and then it's a 2-week break until the derby. So 2.5 weeks for rest and recovery. We've got to hope that that's enough. But as for this game moving forward, we've got the quarterfinals of the Carabao Cup to look forward to, which apparently this is only the fourth time that we've reached that stage in God knows how long. I'm not too clued up on it. I think certainly the last 20 years, I think that's the fourth time we've got to this stage. So not great for the past, but certainly at present we're still in the cup and we're hopefully going to go even further. We've just got to see how we get on.
I'd fancy our chances against anyone in the next round.
When's the draw?
Tomorrow night. After
when's the draw?
Yeah, tomorrow night after the Liverpool game.
And yeah, they'll obviously have
when's
some
the next round?
Do you know what? I'm pretty certain it's like November, you know, end of November, early December.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite a big break. It goes down to a game a week now because the Champions League and stuff starts. So, you know, there's plenty of time for us to get players rested, players back, and we can go full strength when that game comes along.
Whereas and, I think a lot of the bigger sides left in it might rest because of the order.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, it's there for the taking and we look really sharp. So bring it on.
Absolutely, bring it on. We'll leave it at that anyway, I think. Unless Owen's got.
Yeah, it was really important that we got through then tonight because if it's like the end of November, that's the first of it. But if it's the end of November, that's like, I don't know, another stage. We've got through like the first stage of this competition. Now we're through to the next one. And I think just like psychologically, it puts us in the conversation now. So
it's also a long,
to see how we do.
I kind of know what you mean there, and it's also a long period between rounds, which means it's a long period of knowing you're still in the competition.
And that breeds confidence in its own right, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Hopefully we can enjoy our football.
Yeah, the Leicester game last year was the quarterfinal, wasn't it? So that was played like early to mid December.
Yeah,
maybe it's around then. But you know, it's a one legged game. Let's have it.
Let's have it. I love that. Yeah. Let's have it. So there you have it, guys. Welcome to the match preview segment where we're looking ahead to our next Premier League fixture against Brighton and Hove Albion at Goodison Park on Saturday. For that, I'm joined by Terry, of course, and a warm welcome to Dan Hart as well to the show. How are you doing, lads? Dan, I think it's your first time on, certainly on this show with me. How are you doing?
Yeah, everything sounds. It's going all right. It's my second time actually doing this. I've done one in February against Watford. But I'm all good. Hopefully it goes well.
Well, fingers crossed. I mean, put it this way, you're in good company if anything goes wrong.
Cheers.
Anyway, speaking of things going wrong, one thing that isn't going wrong is Everton so far this season. 6 wins out of 6. I mean, what's happening? Terry, well, can you see us making it 7 out of 7 against Brighton?
I hope so. I watched Brighton against Man United, not in the cup, in the league. So that's probably a better gauge of what we're going to come up against in this game. And they were well better than Man United. They battered them. They hit the post, well, the woodwork 5 times. And Trossard just ran the show. And yeah, we're going to have a proper test. I think they'll be our biggest test yet. I know it doesn't feel like that because it's Brighton, but they've got some good players like Trossard, like I mentioned, and that Tarik Lamptey on the their right wing back.
He's brilliant, him.
Unbelievable, him. Where does he come from? He's just absolutely quality. Just a little tricky, fast wing back. He's been linked. Who was he linked with? Was it Bayern Munich the other day? Wow. He's been because they're after a right back and then. It was Bayern Munich, I think. He'd been linked with him. And I wouldn't be surprised if he went because he's a quality little player. So, especially if we might not have Richarlison, you know, give just a cover to Luca Dean, you know, the hard work and the tracking back, it's going to be a big job on for whoever who's ever on that left-hand side because he's quality.
Certainly. And you know, on the note of the injuries, I don't think we haven't had any updates as since Carlo said, of course, he doesn't think it's that serious last night. We haven't had any updates since, have we? Not, I've been checking my Twitter all day. I haven't really seen anything. I'm not sure.
No. Guys, we're likely to get it with the press conference, aren't we, which is Friday. It'll be, you know, first question, you know, any injuries. And he said he didn't expect, think it was going to be too bad, but you just never know with these things with you know, it looked like it was a game, Alan's groin, and, it, you know, it was a twist of the leg by Richarlison. You just don't know. It could be something they can shake off, something they need to rest over the international break. Or it could be the worst-case scenario where it's a long-term injury. We're praying it's not that light, but at the very least, you want them back, both back and healthy by the time the international break's over.
Carlo says he reckons that Richarlison could be fit for Saturday, but personally, I was saying to a few people, I personally think he should sit this one out and sit out the international break as well.
I don't know. He's, if he's fit, he's past fit, isn't he? So he wants to play, and he's one of our key players. So I think he will play if he's past fit. I'm with you. I wouldn't mind resting him. We've got a lot of players, especially for that left-hand side. We could even bench him, maybe, and bring him on if you need him. But if he's past fit for this game, then you might as well play him because he's not going to he's not going to sit out the international break if he's past fit, put it that way.
Exactly.
He'll be called up.
Yeah, it's definitely a difficult one. Alan's probably the one that concerned me the most last night. His injury looked probably the worst of the three.
It's worrying because he's the least replaceable. Like, Richarlison's not replaceable either, but you've got Iwobi, you've got Bernard, you've got Alex...
Anthony Gordon.
Yeah, I meant to say Alex Iwobi second time. Anthony Gordon. The middle of the pitch, okay, Fabian Delph had a decent game against West Ham, but he's not a patch on Alan, is he? So I wouldn't like to see Delph fill in for Alan if we could avoid it. And if he has to, one game would do me any more than that. And I'd be starting to, you know, I'd be cursing our injury luck because if it's any longer than one game for the two of them, then it's just a killer, isn't it? Because it's going to be the derby that they miss.
Yeah, that's a big concern. Dan, how do you feel going into this Brighton game? Do you think we should give these players a rest or maybe... You know, I thought some of the reserves did okay against West Ham. Should we give them a chance in the Premier League and maybe give these lads a rest?
I think the way that they set up Brighton, they're very fast going on the attack. You know, with as you know, as you just said earlier on with you know, with Trossard as well, and Mapei. You know, they are a very fast team. But I think we have. The main thing now this season, we have good depth in the squad. You know what I mean? I think the signs that we've made is brought the best out of everyone else. You know, Sigurdsson, he's starting to look a bit all right now. So I think if Richarlison is fit, it just depends. You know, start him on the bench. You know, in case he gets any worse or like you know, just one little turn and it could be. Even longer. Alan, you know, so them injuries are very, you know, so they can be either 3 weeks, 4 weeks, months in the end, but I wouldn't play Alan like on a Saturday. I don't think he'll play anyway myself. But Richarlison, I think if he is fit, I think I'll start on the bench.
I think Richarlison's one of them. If he feels like he's up for it, he'll beg to play. I mean, he's one of he seems like one of them. He's determined to never go off injured him. I mean, the amount of kicks he gets and he just shakes all of them off.
Yeah, I mean, with it just depends, you know, like because like that's not like him to actually go down and actually and like he started to hit the floor and thinking, oh, like what is going on? Like I think he's broke his ankle or something. But as as he said last night, Angelotti said, he said it doesn't look too serious, which is a good thing. So it might start him, it might bench him, but just pray to God that they're both fit in 2 weeks' time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But ahead of this game against Brighton, you mentioned a couple of threats there. Lamptey's been fantastic, like you say. Trossard, there's been plenty of good players. I think they're a really underrated team. Right, I think they've been. I think Man United was an example of just how unlucky they were. But even in the other games I've seen from them, I've always thought they put up a good account of themselves.
Yeah, they have. You know, see, going back to the first game against them, I think it was Chelsea on the opening weekend, and again they were very unlucky. You know, they had a good side, and to come back to the game against Man United, you know, they were the better side, and what happened, I mean, like, Man U, and they get a pen at the end, but I think it'll be a test for the back four, like, for us on the weekend. It'll be a very fast pressing game from Brighton, I think.
Yes, they've got a lot of players who are really rate, to be honest. Players who would definitely have at Everton if we could, you know, stump up a bit of money. And, you know, I've just been very impressed every time I've seen them play. So where do you think they're going to hurt us if they can attack us, maybe?
I think on the width. You know, as Noah said earlier on with Glanty as well, you know, he's just magic, and I think how old he's only, what, 21, 20? He's young, he's fast, he's got a bit, and like he likes to go on the inside as well. So I think it'll be a test for the width from them. Like, and again, I think Keane or Mina, I think it'll be a test as well from the play.
Yeah, definitely. He's a player who I don't like playing against him at the best of times. He's a nuisance.
Yeah, and to watching him, I think it was Connolly as well last week against Man U. He likes to win fouls as well. I noticed as well.
You know that from last season when he threw himself and got himself a penalty.
Yeah, so again, just watch out round about the box area or like the final tier, because he does win fouls him, so it would be a test.
Definitely. On the other hand, though, Terry, how could we hurt Brighton?
James Rodriguez. It's just simple as now, isn't it? Like, he's just a class apart. Like, he never loses the ball. He never wastes a touch. Never wastes a pass. He's our key player. He's the player that the opposition will probably do a brief on before we play them, and they'll say, stop him. If you can shut him down, you'll stop Everton. And that'll be especially true when we haven't got Richarlison on the other side. So if we haven't got Richarlison, much like with Trossard, with them, like, it's he'll, you know, Trossard will float and try and find, you know, gaps to exploit, and, you know, he'll probably turn up where Diagana went against West Brom, that gap between James and Coleman, and try and exploit that space. We need to do similar. We need to, when Lamptey goes forward, we need to have the freedom for James to just, you know, slot in on the other side if he needs to be. It'll probably, if Richarlison doesn't start, it'll probably be Iwobi. Have Iwobi go on the other side. Just let James float and do his damage there, because we're going to need him too. And another thing about Trossard is we won't have Alan either. Delph had a good game, but he's not a patch on Alan in terms of defensive work rate. So we're going to have to pretty much play them at their own game and have our playmaker float, because he's going to be the key man more so than ever. And the other way we can hurt them is the way we've been hurting everyone else. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, make chances in the box and he'll slot them. Doesn't matter how scruffy it is. You know, whether it's half a chance, you know, great chance, whatever. He's there, left foot, right foot header. Absolutely on fire at the minute. And he'd probably, you know, like to go into the international break now that he's been called up to the England squad and sign off with another goal, get to that camp and be the top scorer in the Premier League.
Oh, definitely. So, I mean, that's obviously going to be a big thing in the dressing room. Obviously, you've got the likes of Harry Kane and that. When he goes on England duty, that'll be a nice one for him to, you know, to these players who are quite obviously a lot more highly rated, or overrated, should we say. I mean, not so much Harry Kane, but certainly.
No, he's got nothing to prove, though, Calvert-Lewin, when he goes. It's just a case of he's a confidence player, which is what we've learned. When his confidence is high, he's lethal between the sticks. And the confidence will probably never be as high as it is in this next game when he's just been called up for international duty. So, you know, get the make chances in and around the six-yard box and he'll be there.
That's it. You know, it's eight goals in six games, isn't it?
Five, I think. I don't think he played in against Salford.
That's right, yeah.
So in five games. Even better than that.
Excellent. You just can't argue with that at all. No. But yeah, I think the way we've described it there, the way we spoke about James and Trossard, it's got the makings of a very, very open game, this. And
yeah.
I think that means our defence is going to have to be on point, and also, unfortunately, Jordan Pickford's going to have to behave himself a bit.
Well, I'm fully expecting them to get a penalty. Just as Dan said, that Connolly, he loves to go down in the box.
He throws himself in. I can't stand him.
I can see them getting a penalty. Either he'll earn one or he'll. Well, he can't really blag one now off VAR, can he? But we are. People haven't forgot that we got a penalty last week, that everyone took the knock over. Everyone was pissed off that we got that penalty, even though other teams have got similar already. So I think referees will probably be, you know, absolutely
can't
desperate
wait to blow up for a penalty.
You know, to right that wrong, as it were. But as far as Connolly goes, if I'm Connolly, I'm going to be all over Yerry Mina. I like Yerry Mina, but he's the more clumsy of him and Keane, isn't he? I'd be all, and even if he doesn't foul you, he's so awkward the way he moves that sometimes it looks like he has.
Yeah, he's very leggy, isn't he? Reminds me a lot of
Tried to dive an header for a ball that was on the floor the other day. Yeah. So
it's like if you put Peter Crouch at centre back.
I know. If I'm Connolly, I'm all over Mina. I know it's me saying it, watch Keane give one away, but I'm expecting to concede a penalty in this game just because I've got that feeling. I hope not. So Pickford, do us a favour, mate. It's one of the things he's been, you know, known to be good for. Even in his wobbly spells, he's always been good at saving penalties, Pickford. So if we do get one given against us, that's where he earns his money.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah, I think in terms of this game, this is going to be quite a tough one to call in terms of it's going to be a case of, I think, whoever turns up better on the day. I think... Quality-wise, there's quality all over both of these sides. It's who wants this more, I think.
Mm.
And, you know, we've got the chance to go top of the table. I mean, that should be incentive in its own right.
We're at home. I think I do respect Brighton. I think they're a much better team than some people give them credit for, with some good players. But Everton should be beating Brighton at home. Like, either because we're on form, they're on form, but our good players are better than their good players at the end of the day. And we're at Goodison Park, without fans or not, we've got that sort of home field advantage. And I'd like to see us, how good would it be if we went away and we've got maximum points in the league and we're in the quarter final of the Carabao Cup? Just be unbelievable. You could just enjoy the next 2 weeks completely then, and then probably not enjoy the last couple of days of that 2 weeks because the derby's coming up.
Yeah, it'd be nice to go into the derby with 7 wins out of 7 in the season.
Not half.
Couldn't argue with that, could you? So yeah, we'll finish off with that anyway. We'll do our predictions. Dan, prediction?
I'll take a 2-1 Everton. First goal, Calvert-Lewin. 2-1.
Teddy?
Go on. I'm just saying there about, you know, I think they will score. I think the way that they attack, I think they like to score. Do Brighton, I'd say, like, they're not like, you know, your Fulhams or your Newcastles. Do you mean like they have got a good goal threat, Brighton? So I think they will score, but I think we'll just have a 2-1.
Terry?
3-2 Everton. I think it'll be a high scoring game. Both teams have got players who can score goals and will hit the other, but I think we'll shade it. So 3-2 Everton.
I was going to say 2-1, then when Dan said 2-1, I thought I'm going to say 3-2, and then Teddy says 3-2. So I'm going to say 4-3. Yeah, I think Everton will shade. It's going to be a high score, and Dan and Terry have gone for the ones I was originally going to say, so we'll say four today. So, there you have it, guys. Podcast listeners, it's time for the quiz, the classic quiz. It's Dan's first ever Toffee Blues quiz, I think, is it not?
It's me second. So when I done the first time, and I think I won. I think I pipped at the end against.
You were up against Teddy, were you?
Yeah.
I've done that many now that I can't remember. I assume that I've lost a lot, but.
Teddy's like, he's like one of them, like, it's one of them. If in doubt, Teddy probably lost the quiz.
Probably.
So anyway, Dan, seeing as it's your first time on in quite a while, I'll let you pick. You get to pick whether you want to go. Well, first of all, you get to do heads or tails, or flip this coin.
Heads, Dan. Heads.
It's tails. So, Teddy, you get to pick. Do you want to go first or second, mate?
I'll go second, mate. Stick to a good thing.
Yeah, I think you won with a second going second last time, didn't you?
Yeah, the last two or three I've won, I've gone second, so I'm keeping that one going.
Right, and this will probably put us all on a little bit of a downer, this, because in the midst of this riding high with Ancelotti, 6 wins out of 6. We're going back to the very first game Everton played with Sam Allardyce in the dugout.
Oh, God, okay.
And in that in mind, that is Everton 2, Huddersfield 0, 2nd of December 2017. Dark days indeed. Everton, oh, if Sam will have you believe, we were probably in the relegation zone, but we were probably about 12th. Anyway, Dan, you're going first, mate. You've got to name one of the starting 11 or the three used substitutes from this game.
All right, okay. Michael Keane.
Michael Keane was a used substitute.
Oh, God. In off the bar.
Firing off the bar. Terry?
In off the bar.
Cuco Martina.
Cuco Martina did play.
He's left back. I remember this was the spell. Allardyce had a successful little run at first, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Which got us out of danger, and then he just secondly weren't in any proper danger. He just fell apart. But I remember the back four entirely because it was an auxiliary back four due to injuries. But it actually had put a run of results together. And when you're in it, you'll wonder how.
Yeah, definitely wonder how. And with that in mind, Dan.
Sigurdsson.
Yeah, Sigurdsson played the full game and scored one of the goals.
Oh, they're on. Oof. Oh, God.
Ashley Williams.
Yep, Ashley Williams played the full game.
Coleman.
No, Seamus Coleman was still recovering from his broken ankle at this point. His broken leg, I should say.
God.
Yeah, so that means Teddy wins a quiz.
Oh my God.
Teddy, you're loving this going second, mate. You just need to start going second every time and you'll just run away with it.
I know. A little good luck charm, but Allardyce is too recent. I remember every minute of Allardyce because it was like every minute in hell. It was horrible.
And speaking of every minute in hell, we're going to carry on anyway and just try and guess a few more. So, Terry, do you want to go again?
Well, the right back wasn't Coleman because it was so it was Kenny.
It was John Joe Kenny, played the full game. Dan?
Christ. In goal, Pickford?
Yep, Jordan Pickford was in goal.
Holgate?
Yep, Mason Holgate made up the back four. It was Kenny, Holgate, Williams and Martina with the back four.
and he actually got a few results with that back four. If you remember, Holgate and Williams were actually an half-decent partnership for a very short window in the December.
Yeah, they were actually. Who else have we? Who haven't we got yet? We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 five starters left and 2 U subs.
Garnagay.
Yeah, Idrissa Garnagay. He played the full game.
Right. Wayne Rooney.
Wayne Rooney started and was subbed off for Michael Keane.
Oof.
And Sam Allardyce like substitution there.
Yeah. Trying to play, don't know. Oh God, I hate Sam Allardyce. Oh, I hate at the time. Let's say. Oh, my mind's gone blank. My mind's gone blank. Bloody hell. Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, Dominic Calvert-Lewin started and scored the second goal.
Lots of goal scorers there, not bad.
Is right. Mm-hmm. So you've got Vad Rooney, you've got 2 more starters and 2 U subs.
I remember the midfield 3 at that time as well. Was it Tom Davis?
Yeah, Tom Davis was the starter.
Right. One of his new signings, I'm going to say Cenk Tosun.
They haven't brought the new signings in at this point. Cenk Tosun hadn't signed.
Oh, no. Stop Bruce up the other one then. Is it my goal or still?
Go on, Teddy, you're up.
I try and picture the team, like the shape of the, you know, like the formation. So you had Martinez and Sigurdsson on the left, didn't he? We've had the middle 3, the back 4, the striker. Who was on the right? Was it Morales?
It wasn't Morales.
Was he gone? He might have been gone. Like, no, he was still.
I think he was still there, but he wasn't getting a look in at this stage.
God, this side. Oh my God, it just shows how much of a blur it was.
I know, because it doesn't matter now because it's finished. I know it wasn't Balassi because he came back after Boxing Day.
Yeah, it wasn't Balassi. Balassi wasn't even on the bench.
Yeah, we didn't get, yeah, because he was still injured. He came back like a couple of weeks later because he came back at West Brom, didn't he? Wasn't Walcott because we didn't have him yet. Oh, was it Luchman?
Luchman was the substitute who came on. He was a used sub, Luchman. But he replaced somebody else.
Was it Valencia?
No, Valencia wasn't either at this point.
It just shows, oh my God, man, absolutely.
God, was it Aaron Lennon?
It was Aaron Lennon.
Oh, yeah.
So he was, I remembered he was there because Unsworth had used them, hadn't he?
Yeah.
Unsworth brought him the Coles, yeah. I was trying to remember like who was knocking about the squad. The squad was a mess, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So one more used sub.
Jesus.
God.
Wasn't Klaassen because he never fucking used them. Was it Sandro?
It wasn't Sandro.
He's always been out on loan, hasn't he? That's one thing he's ever put on an Everton kit.
Nah, he was still here at this point because Allardyce used him against Chelsea, didn't he? Yeah, it was one of the very few times he played. Who else was there? Oh, it wasn't fucking Nobed, was it? Schneidlin.
It wasn't Morgan Schneidlin. He come on for Tom Davies in the 66th minute.
Yes.
And they have it. So that's the team. It was Jordan Pickford, John Joe Kenny, Mason Holgate, Ashley Williams, Cuco Martina, Idrissa Garnagay, Aaron Lennon, Tom Davis, Wayne Rooney, Gylfi Sigurdsson and Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Luchman Schneidlin and Michael Keane were the used subs, and the unused subs were Joel Robles, Benny Beningame, Nikola Vlasic and Umar Nias.
Oh my God.
What an era. What an era. Teddy,
how far you can go in 3 years, isn't it? Like, the only two really who've survived from that time. You know, we've got a place on the pitch as Pickford and Keane, and even then Pickford's probably not long for the world, is he?
Yeah. Just tells you how bad Koeman was, really, if anything.
Yeah, we're still recovering from the transfer window.
Yeah,
absolutely. Still can't get the... Sandro's still here.
Yeah.
Lassie's still here talking to everyone and his wife on Twitter.
That's it, just still here. Sandro's still here. So the list just goes on and on and on.
We could go on forever, to be honest. There's a lot of them are still here. But anyway, Teddy, this quiz is yours. You get to pick the song that teases out at the end of this podcast.
I'm not even going to have to check the Spotify this time because what else is there?
Of course.
What else is there other than Spirits of the Blues?
The song that reached number one in the iTunes chart.
In case anyone's gone an hour without hearing it, I loved that song even before it became big.
I did. It's one of my favourite Everton songs. Probably is my favourite Everton song.
I remember saying to Jerry years ago when he was talking about Everton songs, like specifically like Zedcars, and I said to him, I like Spirits of the Blues, and he hadn't heard it, you know, because it's not, you know, a regular Goodison, is he? And that's really where he'd only ever heard it. And now he fucking knows now, put it that way.
It's an absolute banger, and it's kind of sums up the mood around the club at the moment. It's excellent, isn't it? And why not keep that mood going so our listeners can finish their podcast by listening to Spirit of the Blues? What a good choice that is from Teddy there. I mean, it was never in doubt, was it?
Get your coats on and get moving.
And thank you for listening to the Toppy Blues. We'll see you later with Spirit of the Blues.
Shine so bright.